Hey, Smash Cuts listeners, it's Sean.
Joe is feeling a little bit under the weather today. It's allergy season, after all. So we unfortunately weren't able to make a pod today. But we have an amazing interview for you. And it is the directors of the hit horror film Late Night with the Devil, Cameron Cairns and Colin Cairns. I just watched this movie on Shudder. It is now available on Shudder or AMC Plus, and it is a blast. It is amazing. Enjoy this interview. It will be a lot of fun. And then also watch the movie. It's a great, fun indie horror film. You will definitely enjoy it. We will see you next weekend. Have a good one.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining to have this chat today. I'm sure it's been kind of a back-to-back whirlwind for you guys, so hopefully we can have a good conversation and you're not getting the same questions I'm sure you've gotten a million times. Let's dive right in and talk about this film. Extremely entertaining and very well cast, by the way. I think that was the part that I love the most, and the transportative nature of heading back into the 70s, and you know, the set design, the costuming, and really, I guess, the nature of the supernatural elements that we're discussing here. What was the impetus behind writing the story, especially one that's set in the 70s?
Yeah, I think we just wanted to make a scary film set on a TV set. You know, it really came about from us just after our first film. Our producer was really keen to get straight into another one. And we knew that, you know, money was going to probably be a little tight. So we were just sort of coming up with ideas that were contained, that were one location. And, the idea of a TV studio just seemed like, yeah, it was screaming out for this kind of film to happen. But it was not without its challenges. Mm. You know, once we'd sort of figured out that was going to be our location, it was like, okay, now we've got to
come up with a story. The work and be scary, and still dramatic, and funny.
Yeah.
So for a long time, it was just a cool idea in search of a half decent script. But sure, we got
So it's interesting because what results is almost, in my eyes, like a series of vignettes, horror vignettes in a way, strung together. As we meet the different guests of the show and certain incidents ensue without getting to, you know, into spoiler territory. As fans of horror, what films did you draw on to influence the film, and what were you hoping to kind of tackle?
Yeah, I mean, another reason for sort of choosing that period, I guess, was just our love of horror cinema of that era. I mean, cinema in general, such a cool period, I think, in filmmaking. So, you know, stuff from the time. Look, it's hard to avoid the, you know, referencing The Exorcist, for example, and we don't shy away from that, because if we're trying to say that this is set in the real world where Johnny Carson is the king of late night, well, that movie exists as well, and that's going to rear its head in some way. So films like that, but, you know, all the Cronenberg stuff from that period, you know, anything, John Carpenter, Joe Dante, all those guys, that it was just such a rich period, I think, in horror filmmaking. Yeah. And in Australia as well, we had some pretty cool stuff. So, you know, in a way, it is a little, without being too wanky, a bit of a homage to that era, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, I think, you know, if you want to talk specifically about titles like Videodrome, always in the back of our heads, yeah. And Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, and it just occurred to me recently that scene at the end of The Howling where Dee Wallace transforms into that very cute-looking werewolf and she's got to be shot live on TV.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like that, yeah, we need to pay a lot of respect to that scene, because it feels like we've taken that scene and kind of, you know, spread it out over a feature length.
Absolutely. So in thinking about that, and especially in thinking about how the film reaches its climax and what we're left with at the end, a lot of what we see on the screen is practical effects, I should say. Can you talk a little bit about sort of using practical effects over CGI? It seems as though, just based on this film, that it seems to be something you guys lean towards over CGI. What are the positives of that?
Well, the positives are that, you know, it's there on set and the actors are interacting with it. They're seeing it, they're smelling it, which, you know, I've seen David talk about, you know, and so it's much more real. It's visceral. So, and we also think it just looks better. Like, I think audiences know, they know the difference. They know when something's done in camera and when it's not. Yeah, we just, and also, I guess for us, it was also, if we're going to be paying tribute to that era and we want things to look authentic to that era, then the effects should also feel of that time. So, you know, there are a lot of reasons why on this one we went there, but we'll continue to do so. You know, it just,
but that's not to say, you know, we, there is CGI in the film, but hopefully it's not too obvious that it's distracting you. But, you know, we need it to just augment certain moments, and there's just only so many things we can do on a budget practically. But, you know, the big moments, the big gory moments, we have a wonderful makeup effects team to thank for all of that.
That's
our producer for the visual effects, who pretty much did it all off his own back.
One of our producers also did VFX. He did. He's very. I mean, that's his background. And
very good. I imagine there has to be much more planning that goes into practical effects, and you know, just thinking about redressing the set or even the characters. Given, you know, if you have to do another take, does that create a lot of challenges as well?
We get another take.
Something like, you know, the Lily, you know, that sort of, that possession scene where there's gag, there's some stunt stuff as well. That, you know, that's, that takes a lot of planning. That's really heavily storyboarded and planned, and lots of meetings, lots and lots of meetings about but then at the end of the day, a lot of it is just get all the elements there. You get one go at it, cross your fingers, let's see what happens. We've got three or four of those moments, and fortunately they came off.
Very nice. It's absolutely captivating each time that you see the practical effects on screen. And the film itself just continues to build in tension, especially once you get to the end and you see the climax. Horror itself has been having such a resurgence now in mainstream film and television. Why do you guys think that is? What's so enticing about horror?
That's a good question. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, you know, we've just been through, recently been through a pandemic and lots of lockdowns, and you know, it seems that theatrically horror is playing better than just about every other genre out there, which is really exciting. And I don't know if that has something to do with just people being cooped up indoors for so long, and they just want to get out and be entertained and be scared and have fun again. Or
I think it's that horror movies, when done right, are about as entertaining as it gets. But sometimes we forget that. I think people who want to make horrors or are making them sometimes get caught up in everything having to be really dour and dark and self-serious. But the stuff that we were talking about in the 70s and 80s, there was always a sense of fun. Even a Cronenberg film had humor in it. The guy has a sense of humor. So I don't know, I think horrors, when done well, do that, are just damn entertaining, you know? And if you can bring in some interesting characterizations and some interesting thematic material, then what's not to love about that?
We absolutely have to talk before we go about the casting, and the entire cast is great here, but David Desmalchin is just incredible in this role, and almost like he was born to be a late night host in a way. He is so believable in this role.
Look, you know, when the camera stopped rolling, he was still Jack. That guy. He was Jack, and he was riffing, and he just, you know, couldn't get him out of the suit. And the side.
I think also the grounding, you know, hearing that he was comparing himself to Carson or trying to catch Carson, that also grounded the story itself in reality, which was such a nice touch.
Yeah, good to hear. We felt that was important to, because there's really no way of, you know, we toyed with the idea of not having that sort of prologue to explain stuff, but then how do you give the audience that information without it just becoming obnoxious exposition?
Really contrived,
You know, there's no way he's going to stop, you know, mid-spiel in his monologue and set the scene for us. So
absolutely.
You know, we thought that was important, and hopefully it kind of works. But David's amazing. I mean, the whole cast are incredible. Everyone sort of, you know, some of our cast came on very late too, I should say. Two of our came on like only days out from the shoot that they were confirmed. And so that was scary, but God, they were amazing, you know.
Yeah, all local, most of them local Melbourne actors. So, you know, they had to do the accent, and that had to be convincing. And, you know, luckily having somebody like David around helped, you know. But there wasn't much coaching involved. I mean, yeah, I think once everyone found their voice, they just locked in. It was great.
Absolutely entertaining film, and we're up against time. But I asked you about horror, and I have to ask one other question. Not only what is it about horror, but what is it about Australian brother duos in horror now? It seems to be the thing, huh?
Well, that's right. Spierigs, you know, the Philippous, ourselves. I'm sure there's one. Anyway, yes. we're a pretty small nation. Yes, we do churn out these weird sibling filmmaking duos. I don't know what that is.
Well, we're glad that you do, and we look forward to more.
See what we can
hope to deliver. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.